was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul.
Welcome, welcome, Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, for a long time I wanted to have the ability to bring to you an amazing conversation that I had with Ken O'Keefe. What was supposed to be a short interview turned into an all-day, in-depth conversation on so many subjects, I couldn't even list them all. And I've been trying to figure out the best way to share this with you. So what we're going to do, we've entitled the piece The Freedom Files, and we're going to be sharing them with you on the show. Now, this is going to be an interactive show, so please feel free if you want to. If you hear something that said, if you want to call in and you want to discuss it or talk about it, feel free to do so. 1-800-313-9443. I ask that you let, you know, at least the first 20 minutes go and listen to some content before you start calling in. But this is going to be interactive. When this is all done, when the series is done, we are going to put it to one audio file with commercial free content and likely release it after the series is aired live on the air. I really looked forward to sharing this, and I think that this is probably the most appropriate way to do it. You know, Ken and I, we don't agree on everything perfectly, but you know what? We're two guys who basically shed the left-right paradigm. He leans a little bit more left. I lean a little bit more right. But, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, he's an American patriot. So am I. We're finished with these wars of aggression in foreign nations. We want to get back to the founding principles and the tenets of the Constitution and all of the reasons why we busted away from Great Britain to begin with. The corporate mainstream media, governments taking control, central planning and planning out the lives of people and propagandizing them to the point where they don't know how to make rational decisions. People on the left have a political schizophrenia. People on the right have a political schizophrenia. It's really, you know, Hegelian. But anyway, I want to share this series with you, The Freedom Files, Ken O'Keefe.
Now, this is Tom Lacvera Stewart, RTR Truth Media, on the line with Ken O'Keefe. Ken, pleasure to finally talk to you after so long. You were talking to me briefly about, you know, this third world war that we look like we're getting ourselves into. You want to continue on with that?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, for those who've done any independent research, I'm sure you'll find on your own all of the evidence to make very clear that there has been a long time agenda to foster three world wars, Albert Pike very famously, and, you know, there's a lot of information around that. I encourage people to have a look at it. But aside from Albert Pike and the agenda for a third world war and the reduction of the human population, we can see the war drums beating constantly, and in particular we see the target of Iran and Russia, but mm-hmm. Iran is a target purely for the purpose of bringing about a third world war. It would be impossible for Russia and China and, you know, other allies to sit by and allow Iran to be pummeled and or destroyed. It is not possible that we will avoid a third world war if there is any real attack on Iran. And we see everything leading up to manipulated, probably on the back of a false flag event that would justify an attack on Iran. So this is a very real, real thing. The point that I was making with you before is that, you know, World War II history, for those who were informed, no, I mean, all of it, sadly, is just total bullshit, to put it bluntly. I mean, really, every aspect of it. And it's not just World War II history. Come on, you know, who writes the history? The people don't write the history. The powers that be write the history. And it's always, always laden with half-truths, lies, omissions, and whatnot. World War II history is no exception, therefore. And, you know, one of the blatant lies that a lot of people are programmed, and probably many in your audience are programmed to believe the Holocaust narrative. And as soon as you touch this subject, you're immediately branded an anti-Semite and all of this kind of stuff. And that's been pretty successful, in fact, very successful, at preventing any meaningful dialogue or debate about World War II.
I had mentioned before that, you know, my stepbrother, who was Jewish, rejected a lot of this narrative, and he was a part of my awakening when he rejected this control narrative. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of, I think that you made that point correctly, that the Jewish people have no greater friend than you, because it really, what is coming on is going to destroy, or potentially destroy, many of them too. And it's just, it seems to me insane to keep on going on the same. I mean, they were used as scapegoats in World War II, and they're about to be used as scapegoats again.
Well, the thing is, yeah, the Jewish people are victims themselves. They've been indoctrinated in a very, very twisted, very, very schizophrenic kind of perspective of, you know, we're the chosen ones, you know, God made us in his image, and all of this sort of stuff, and the rest of the people, all the goy, are out to get the Jews. You know, this is how they're raised, and the idea of challenging the Holocaust narrative for them is impossible. And for most people in the West, I would say it's impossible. They believe it. I believed it too. I thought it was all true, and Hitler was the worst thing ever, and so on and so forth. But there,
you know,
there's
I'm still not sold on the whole fascist angle of Germany, but I see something happening, a parallel right here in this country, and they got in front of this. And you notice how they call us all Nazis, right? They know that the rising Marxism, which Karl Marx, Mordecai Levy, the rising Marxism that's happening in this country is about to bring on a severe backlash, and it seems like the only thing that can counter that is another strong authoritarian force. So while I separate myself from, you know, NASDAP ideology, I can see what brought it about just by looking at the history of Germany in the early years leading up to World War II.
Well, we can really cut to the chase on what really happened in Germany very, very simply. What Germany did, let's put it this way. Let's look at all the countries that we've been targeting in the modern era. Let's go down the list. And if you don't already know, I'm gonna give you a thing that is held in common between all these nations. We look at Iraq, Syria, Libya, Venezuela, North Korea, Iran. All of these countries have one thing in common. They do not have the Rothschilds banking system in place, except Libya. as soon as our orchestrated invasion and destruction of Libya occurred, the first act of the so-called rebels there was to install a Rothschilds-controlled bank.
So, I know.
pretty in your face. What Hitler did, and this doesn't mean, you know, this doesn't mean you have to take the position that Hitler was the greatest thing ever, or he was the devil incarnate. You know, there, as usual, things are generally in between the two extremes.
Yeah.
But the one thing Hitler did that was his real crime, and this is where Judea very famously declared war on Germania. Declared war because Hitler said, you know what, and it's the same exact thing that Americans and all nations are saddled with right now, is debt. You know, who do we owe the money to? We owe the money to the same exact people that the German people owed the money to, And that's in a time post-World War One where Germany was drowning in debt because of the reparations and whatnot. All of that money that was loaned to Germany to pay the debt for the reparations was almost exclusively Jewish-controlled banksters. Yep. And Hitler said, no, we're not going to pay it. And furthermore, we're not going to use your currency. We're going to bring back our currency, which we control, and which is going to allow us to go through an economic and political metamorphosis from a broken, bankrupt, starving population of Germans post-World War One to a powerhouse that could have easily won World War Two had it not been for the enormous fight that they had to indulge in with the Soviets, you know, with the two fronts, and they nearly achieved that. They nearly made it to Moscow, despite the massive challenges. All of that was possible for Germany to literally be able to conquer Europe, and even take on the Soviets. All of that was possible because of the money supply that they instituted, which is the same exact thing that every nation needs to do. We need to agree. We're not paying these bankers. Are you kidding me? We just bailed them out to the tune of trillions after the 2008 crash, literally. And that shows who's running the government. It's Jewish, primarily Jewish bankers who own the U.S. government. And therefore, all of us dupes in the United States, we don't even pay tax to the actual budget. All we're doing, as you probably know, is paying tax on the interest for the production of the money that we could produce ourselves. None of what I'm saying is rocket science. I say this regularly, and I mean it. I am not the smartest guy in the room. I'm not the first one to figure this out. You know, a lot of people have. And this is the big battle. And people who buy into the Israeli propaganda, you know, very much supported by all of the power structure within the United States, which is run by the same powers, I beg of you to seriously question what it is that you think you know, because America is indeed a great nation in many respects, but it's going to go down, and it is going down, and its backing of Israel is the number one thing that is taking it down right now. And ultimately, we can avoid all of this mess, by saying no to the debt. We don't owe them a damn penny. Are you kidding me? We owe the Rothschilds and other such Jewish banksters, we owe them money? Are you kidding me?
One of the things about 9/11 that intrigued me the most that is not talked about a lot is the records to the Security and Exchange Commission investigation onto insider trading and all the Wall Street crimes that was located in Building 7 that was completely obliterated. How convenient. How absolutely convenient that was. And these people have been perpetrating this fraud upon the public. I mean, one thing that you said, and I was going over some of your material earlier, was that the last American president that we really had that was worth a damn was John F. Kennedy. And what did he do? He challenged Dimona and the nuclear power plant in Israel and, of course, the Federal Reserve banking system by wanting to issue currency that was actually backed by something. That hadn't been done since, you know,
Well, it hadn't been done since, you know, the equivalent would be Lincoln and the greenback, and there's a lot of back history to that. And, of course, Andrew Jackson very famously fought the banks. This is a battle that's been waged from the beginning. The Rothschilds' control of European central banks and the Bank of England going back centuries, this is the same form of power, system of power that we have today. And as long as that system of power of finance, of creating money for the Jewish banksters, of course, it's not all Jews who benefit from this. There are, of course, non-Jews who benefit. But the vast majority of control is amongst Jewish bankers. We're not even allowed to know who the shareholders in the Federal Reserve Bank is. We know who they are, really, but it's never been openly declared. And these individuals, whoever they may be, are literally our slave masters. We're paying taxes to them. We don't need to pay taxes any more than any nation needs to pay taxes. I'm sure every American patriot knows there is no lawful income tax. There's no IRS regulations even that mandate a federal income tax. why is any red-blooded American patriot submitting to an abuse of authority that is unconstitutional and is enslaving us and our children? It makes no sense to me unless you're not thinking straight, which, of course, then it makes sense. But when we think straight, we realize we don't have to do this. We don't have to be anybody's slaves. In fact, if you're a real American patriot, if you're a real American patriot, man, my idea of an American man in particular is one who stands up, who does not bow, and who will assert his sovereignty and his independence fiercely, and will back it up with a gun, and will defend himself with that
gun.
Well,
I can tell you that's what got me where I am right now.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, to me, that helps. You know, it doesn't take a gun in your hand to make you a man, but in certain circumstances, it's much better. This is where I've been associated with the left quite a bit because of my anti-war stance. And in that, I do have something in common. But there are plenty of lefty idiots out there who bought into, we must go after Gaddafi in Libya, and, you know, we had to go into Syria to get Bashar al-Assad, all this stupid humanitarian war crap. But the real, you know, aside from being
but
against
that's a Hegelian,
war,
that's a Hegelian dialectic anyway, the left-right thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, indeed. I've never considered myself left or right. My views are formed independent of any such labels. And while there are some things I agree with on the left, for the most part, I find the left overwhelmingly embarrassing. You know, ridiculous, contradictory views. And of course, we see with the Soros-instigated, Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
And
this is not to dispute the legitimate claims of black people to this day. I'm sorry, I am going to disagree with my white brothers and sisters who think that it's all okay and everything is equal and blacks have nothing to complain about. I don't agree with that at all.
They do have something to complain about. What they have to complain about. Look, I come from New Jersey, Philadelphia, right? And all of these cities, whether it's Baltimore, Philadelphia, Chicago, they have been run by a certain group of ensconced politicians who use the black cause for their convenience, but they do nothing for these communities. And Black Lives Matter, as far as Black Lives Matter, if Black Lives Mattered to Black Lives Matter, they would go into their inner cities and stop black-on-black crime. And I mean, Jesus, God, I mean, I have a lot of black friends that are just disgusted with this Marxist movement that's just pimping the black cause. It's not doing anything for anyone.
I totally agree with that. One of the keys to creating a better world for all of us is taking responsibility, and black people need to take responsibility for their own part in the injustice they experience. But of course, that in no way. Dismisses the responsibility that the rest of us have in allowing a state of affairs that really it is inherently unjust. I mean, you know, we can look at basic facts such as property taxes determining the budget of schools in your community. You know, obviously that favors wealthy people, and it doesn't necessarily mean black or white, but given that the inner cities in which you have heavy black populations are almost always the poorest neighborhoods, you have less money for school. That's only one example. Another example of tearing up the black community is we went from slavery to sharecropping to welfare. If you ask me, all three are a form of slavery. And one of the things that's exactly what
Cliven Bundy said. It seemed as though And he was taken out of context. You know, it seemed as though that at least they had families and houses and cohesive units back in the days of slavery. He was saying was they were almost better back in those days than they are today, not meaning that slavery should be brought back, but that this is just another form of enslavement.
It also ties into a quote that I say it regularly, but you know it's very profound in its meaning. No one is more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. So in the days of slavery, no black person was under the illusion that they weren't a slave. They knew they were a slave. When sharecropping occurred, they thought, okay, we're out of slavery. But then they realized, no, you're not. You'll never be able to pay the debt to be able to live on the land. So therefore, you're going to be enslaved to debt. And then we move to welfare, which even gets worse in many respects, because one of the aspects of welfare that is so insidious and is at the heart of why the black community has been ripped apart in America is that if you live in a home and wish to receive welfare, you will receive more welfare if there is no man in the household. So when it comes to hard times between a man and woman, married or unmarried, in the black community, you can imagine the financial incentive of getting rid of the man in your house in order to get more money, especially if the man is being a pain in the ass. So what we have is a financial incentive to break apart the family. And if you
American thing, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to dismiss the concerns in the black community, but white poor communities, the same thing is happening. As a matter of fact, it's our
indeed.
We put forth
indeed.
Research about the 14th Amendment and how that brought in U.S. citizenship and the 14th, 15th, 16th Amendment Reconstruction Acts were never lawful. We have all that information on our website. Bruce Ray Riggs and myself put that all forward and dared anyone to prove us wrong. And what I believe is that the Reconstruction Act and the Civil War and that jurisdiction that they put into place then, it may have in some ways freed overt slavery, but it enslaved the entire nation. And then here came what happened in 1913. Bing. We're all enslaved now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We need to unite, yeah, in my opinion.
Indeed. And that brings us to, you know, the next challenge. And this is a big one for a lot of the people who in your circle would generally be white, gun owners, conservative, because what this group of people is experiencing is the same thing that what might be considered the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, black, inner city, Democrat as opposed to Republican, U.S. citizens. The imperative to maintaining this system is to divide the people.
Yep.
If the people are constantly fighting each other, then they're not recognizing the bastards at the top of the pyramid who are sitting up there smoking the cigars and laughing at us. As
laughing
long as
at
they're
all
fighting
the
each other. All the goy, yeah. Let's get them all, you know, fighting each other. We see, you know, stark examples of this in the Middle East. You know, we know our intelligence services, the CIA, Mossad, and other such agencies, MI6 in Britain. We know that these are the true monster makers of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We know this. Our proxies in Saudi Arabia are the major funders of these,
yep.
These psychopaths, these head choppers running around. And what they do is simple things like, you know, bomb a Sunni mosque and make it appear as if it's the Shia that did it, and vice versa, and go and rip up shrines, you know, and basically get the people divided and fighting each other. And the best example of that in the modern day is what we see in the Middle East. It's an active agenda to balkanize the entire region, to
yep.
fracture and weaken it along sectarian lines, and ultimately to weaken all of this area so that the real plan is for Israel to expand into greater
Israel.
And Israel is meant to be the next empire. You know, they don't say this very openly, but there's plenty of documents in the public realm which make clear, especially Oded Yonan's strategy for Israel in the 1980s, which I'm really grateful that more people are looking at that, because it explains perfectly what is happening in the Middle East, especially the taking out of Saddam Hussein. That was identified way back in the 80s when Saddam was our best friend and ally. And the other targets that were on that list, well, they're all the targets that General Wesley Clark talked about. all of these countries that we see in this chaos in the Middle East have been targeted, and this plan has been played out for a long time, and it's all based on the divide and rule paradigm. So what we need to see in America is the same thing we all need to see around the world, is that while I firmly support nationalist causes, I firmly support them 100%. Every nation should be sovereign. No nation should bow before any other nation, and every nation should determine for themselves how their society runs and functions. And I understand that a lot of people have been brainwashed into thinking that, for instance, all Muslims are wanting to institute Sharia law and all this kind of nonsense. You'll find idiots in every segment of the human population. Let's talk about the Christian Zionists. You know, I mean, how many of them realize that their Bible was completely perverted?
Schofield.
That, the Schofield Bible is a perversion of the New Testament. And that it brought in the whole Zionist agenda of, you know, bringing the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel back, and all along. It's such a manipulation, and you've got probably 50 million Americans who buy into this Christian Zionist ridiculousness, while the Jewish supremacists in Israel are laughing at them and mocking them. And
I have a gentleman that I met here who's from Iraq. He's an Iraqi Christian, right? And he said that, and he came here because of his you know, it's war-torn and destroyed there. He said prior to Bush's invasion, like him or not like him, Saddam Hussein didn't put up with the terrorism. He didn't put up with, I mean, there was order. And, you know, not to say, you know, I know his sons were a little wackadoodle, but still, I mean, it wasn't the way it is now. And now it just, Jesus.
Well, there was no ISIS back then. It was all Al-Qaeda. And you know, if we're to believe the official version, this was our mortal enemy. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq in 2003.
What, you mean the database?
Yeah, exactly. There was none of that, you know. Saddam was a son of a bitch, and you know, I was in Iraq when, you know, just as the invasion was about to happen, and I know what a son of a bitch he was. But, you know, to suggest that he wasn't our son of a bitch is just pure stupidity. Of course he was. And because we betrayed him as our little attack dog in the Middle East, specifically, the Jewish supremacists manipulated us to use Saddam to attack Iran, which was one of the primary targets of Israel. And then after he depleted Iran and went, you know, through a bloody, bloody war in which they used chemical weapons against the Iranian population as well as the Kurds. After Saddam was betrayed, you know, and he was suckered into invading Kuwait. You know, we had told him after having him as an ally for over a decade that it was a regional dispute and that the United States wouldn't take a position, and basically gave him the green light to invade Kuwait. At which point he then became you know, the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And I went off to that war. You know, I'm an ex-Marine. I served in that war. I went there. I could have been killed or killed in the name of that war. I was also exposed almost for sure to depleted uranium, and I was definitely ordered to take experimental drugs, including injections and pills that are now absolutely known to be linked to Gulf War syndrome, which has killed many Americans. This is the point I really want to your listeners who may, you know, be a little bit shocked with some of my views, but I'm telling you, as an ex-Marine who was ordered to take these injections and pills, who has seen many of my brothers and sisters suffer from Gulf War syndrome. Many of them die. Many of them have children with birth defects. Many of them suffering immensely. I tell you, you know, this problem has not been solved. In the second invasion of Iraq, again, American sons and daughters were ordered to take experimental drugs. And I guarantee you that as the evidence and the science bears it out eventually, with all the efforts of the U.S. government to prevent these truths from being known, more people are dying from these poisons. My government and military experimented on me by order of the military. I was not given a choice. I was not informed of the risks. I did not consent. All of this was made legal because the Food and Drug Administration gave a waiver of consent to the U.S. military, which they used to order us to take experimental drugs. This is not my opinion. It's a fact. And I the only reason why I believe I'm in good health at the age of 48 is because I know a thing or two about self-healing. I've conducted many fasts. I understand how to allow the body to repair itself. And ultimately, that's my saving grace.
We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic on RBN with Ken O'Keefe.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website,
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I have some good news. The Firesight promotion is being extended to June 2nd due to a sudden demand. I guess people realized that the promotion was about to end and they started jumping on. You can find all of the information you need at republicbroadcasting.org under the RBN updates column of this life-saving directive. If your life or the life of another innocent person is threatened, the object is to stop the threat as soon as possible. If you use a firearm, I like to use the term arms, to stop the threat, you'd better practice regularly to succeed. If you don't practice regularly, your odds of success go way down. But practice without proper professional training does three things. It wastes time, money, and develops bad habits. I was trained from the time I was 8 years old, folks, and I can tell you that there's a lot of folks out there that weren't. and they could really use this type of training. So your stress levels during a confrontation causes your effectiveness to decline rapidly, but proper professional training develops muscle memory that can carry you through high-stress situations. So if you want into this offer and you want to support the network, we would ask that you take advantage of this amazing once-in-a-lifetime training membership bonus with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. For a one-time donation to RBN of $500, and you receive the membership that is worth $25,000 plus value, really, over a lifetime. See the details on RBN's webpage. You can go to frontsight.com to check it out. And then you go to republicbroadcasting.org/news/RBN fundraiser with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute bonus. You'll see the links under updates on the RBN website. This is something that you really can do to not only train yourself and get something out of it, but also support the network. And for those of you out there who want to support this radio show and everything that we do, you know, we were down for a year and we're crawling our way back to the top. We could really use your support. If you go to resurrecttherepublic.com and click on the PayPal button on the upper right-hand part of the site, or you can call in, and Dan would be more than happy to do so, to make arrangements for people who don't like electronic donations. But we do need your support. To keep this thing going, I'm going to need your support. That's just going to be the way it's going to be. So hopefully throughout this series, some of you out there think that this information and the work that we do and the time that we spend is beneficial. We'll go over to resurrectrepublic.com. That's R-E-S-U-R-R-E-C-T, resurrectrepublic.com, and click on the donate button on the top right side and send us some love. All right. Now, back to this interview. Folks, this is what you're listening to is an interview with Ken O'Keefe that was supposed to be like a 30-minute interview, and it turned into an all-day conversation that was just it's amazing. Conversation. I've made a friend for life, a brother patriot. And, you know, the one thing that I have to say that's amazing about people from different perspectives and maybe different political ideologies to begin with is that once you come together with a goal to bring forward truth, and you break free of the left-right paradigm, amazing things can happen when you break yourself away from this Hegelian dialectic-controlled two-party dichotomy. It's just insane. And then we realize how many things that we have in common rather than we have different. This is a U.S. Marine who has put his life on the line, and I respect that. With all my heart, I respect what he's done. And, you know, like I said, you know, this type of thing is necessary for all people of all political persuasions to really explore. So we're going to get back to the Ken O'Keefe Freedom Files on Resurrect the Republic.
But many American sons and daughters who don't understand these principles, who were exposed to these the experimental drugs and depleted uranium, have died. And nothing
yes,
has changed.
Yes.
It's the same way.
You know, I'd like to recommend to you also, because I'm acutely aware of Gulf War syndrome. I have had a lot of friends over the years who have had that. And I don't know if you're familiar with carbon 60 or C60, but I've had a few of my friends have a lot of success because it seems to repair some of the damaged DNA in your body. It's an amazing thing. I just wanted to let you know about that in case you didn't know.
Actually, I will look into that. Thank you very much. I mean, you know, I've had two kids since that time, although there was a miscarriage with my ex-wife at one, maybe two, which was part of the reason that made me think that I had indeed been exposed. But carbon 60, I'll look it up.
Yes, C60 or carbon 60, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, that's how, you know, like Henry Kissinger said, you know, the military are dumb animals, and, you know, that's the way they truly think about us. I don't know what the exact numbers are today, but the last numbers I know are 22 American service members committing suicide. Why are they doing that? Because we send them off to fight. Did World War II American service members come back and commit suicide in such numbers because of the atrocities that they experienced? No. Why?
No.
Because even though I will disagree that this was the Great War and a great cause and all that kind of stuff, even though I will disagree with that, the people of that time really truly believed that they were fighting the good cause, the right cause. And that is what saved them from the suicidal thoughts. Because now, today, with all the information that's out there, many of these service members are realizing that, in fact, we are the invader and occupier, that we used a bunch of false pretenses to invade and occupy a nation and kill probably between 1 and 2 million, created millions of orphans, millions of refugees, destroyed the entire country, and many of these service members have killed women and children. And even if they killed men, those men were defending their nation. Whatever you think of them, if the situation were reversed, what would you do if some big powerful nation came and invaded and occupied you based on a pack of lies, was stealing your resources and killing your family members?
No, there's
you would
no
pick
question
up whatever weapon
it.
You have, and you would kill every last invader. And if you wouldn't, then you're a coward. You know, you're not a terrorist for fighting those who invade your country. And any American who believes that we didn't invade that country based on a whole shitload of false pretext is not thinking. The whole weapons of mass destruction thing, well, we see that now, how ridiculous that is, and what a lie that was.
Yeah, the architects of it even admit it.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I agree with you there.
And George Bush laughed about it. You know, he mocked it and laughed about it. You know, a lot of American veterans know that too. Boy, they remember him joking about no weapons of mass destruction over here. You know, I mean, this is destroyed. I mean, when we count the devastation in American lives, it's immeasurable. It's massive, but it's nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what we've done to Iraq. And I went to Iraq a year later, by the way. I happened to spend time in an orphanage that was put together by some Westerners who were on the Human Shield action that I had initiated the year before. And this orphanage in the middle of Baghdad, under most everybody's standards in the West, would be considered a derelict building, which isn't even habitable by humans. You know, it was just really a stark place with bare bones, furniture and just rotten holes in the walls and all sorts of stuff. And this was the best thing that those orphan kids had. And those orphan kids that were living in Baghdad, many of them had lost both of their parents, and they had nothing, nothing. And I tell you, all of these kids had like cuts, these big scars on their faces, and they all carried razor blades. And part of the way that they be able to establish themselves as not being a target or a victim was to cut each other with these razor blades, and it showed what they were willing to do if someone was gonna. You can imagine the weaker kids who didn't quite have that kind of strength and where they went with no support at all, no family members, no social services, no nothing. So just the orphans alone is massive, and any God-fearing Christian who loves humanity would have to be heartbroken to think about millions of kids who fit into the category of not having their parents or not having one of their parents, having no social services, nothing to support them. I mean, we can't measure the suffering that's occurred. It's a terrible crime, and this is why Americans commit suicide, because we were not on the right side. We were not at all.
Look at what happened with the video of collateral murder that was released. It gives a small little snippet, and that was just one fraction, one moment in time, where you saw, you know, even after the atrocity that happened, you know, somebody pulls up in a van who has his kids in the van to try and render medical aid, and look what happened. And then one of the stories from one of the booths on the ground there, they wanted to take the child to the base hospital at Rustamaya, and they basically said, nope, don't do that. just basically sentencing people to death by not providing medical aid for what was obviously a civilian casualty, to me is just unfathomable as an American, the values that we're supposed to espouse, and as a Christian, it just doesn't sink in. Now I know why these folks come back and commit suicide. I wouldn't be able to live with myself had I not been able to take her right to get her medical aid.
Yeah, that's right. I feel forever grateful that I did not have to kill somebody in the first Gulf War. I was an infantryman. I was well trained, and had I needed to, I would have. You know, I would have killed. But I know now, in retrospect, that I would have felt tremendous anguish over this. I would have known that I was merely a pawn in a geopolitical game, like a dumb animal used by the powers that be to go kill somebody who probably was a victim of Saddam Hussein himself. You know, so many of the soldiers, the regular army, were Shia, who were persecuted under Saddam Hussein and were forced to go fight. You know, and to go and kill even a man in that circumstance, you know, anybody who thinks lightly about that, you know, killing somebody is a big deal for a healthy human being. For a psychopath, yeah, it's perfectly okay. But for a healthy human being, this is not something that you would ever want to indulge in. Of course, you would have no regrets. If someone's coming to kill your family, you'd kill them dead and wouldn't feel any regret and certainly wouldn't consider suicide because of what you did. Definitely not. You would be in the right. And this explains, by the way, like, for instance, the Viet Cong who we fought in Vietnam and whatnot. It was a brilliant documentary done about all these American Vietnam veterans who experienced PTSD for decades and came back to Vietnam to sort of atone for their sins and admit their wrongs and seek forgiveness where possible. And there was this amazing sequence of this Viet Cong man who was in his 60s or 70s at that point, who had fought in three wars, you know, World War II he was fighting and against the French and then against the Americans. And he looked the most peaceful and contented man. And then you contrast him with this American who's like bawling, crying, you know, trying to cope with his feelings about what he experienced. And the journalist who was sitting there asked the Viet Cong guy, you know, do you not suffer from any post-traumatic stress disorder, any problems, emotional problems? And he kind of smiled and just looked at him and said, why? You know, I was defending my homeland. You know, what am I supposed to do? Sit down, you know, bend over and take it where the sun don't shine? You know, effectively, that's what he said. Of course you fight. And, you know, of course all sane people are going to feel some consequences for having to kill, but you're not going to kill yourself and you're not going to have PTSD like all of our American sons and daughters do if you're on the right side. You know,
I agree with that. I mean, as much as I hate communism, my position, you know, today, I can't see hindsight's 2020, but my position on communism today is look, the North Korean people have a really big problem, but it's for the North Korean people to solve, right? The Vietnamese people had a problem, but it really ultimately was for the Vietnamese to solve. I care about what happens in my country, and that's, I mean, brutal dictatorship in North Korea, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Communism, who controls communism? Come on. The origins of communism are undeniable. Trotsky and backed by Jewish bankers and Jabotinsky and all of the major players in the Bolshevik Revolution, which could arguably is the worst, most grotesque period of mass murder in human history, and it's got a lot of competition. The Communist Revolution in China is very close and may even surpass it, but the types of torture and methods of exterminating opposition in the Bolshevik Revolution can hardly be really looked at without some sort of psychological damage, because if you get into the artistic way of torture that was fostered, I mean, you know, just incredibly creative forms of torture that just beg the question of who was instigating this. These people must have been sadists of the highest order. It wasn't just killing. Yes, indeed. Indeed they are. Indeed they are. Many atheists, Satanists amongst them. And ultimately, I'm with you on communism. I find it grotesque. I also find the false capitalism or, you know, this fake version of a free market that we have grotesque as well.
It is fake. You hit it right the head right there. It's fake. It's not real.
It's fake.
You know, I'm a kind of Ron Paulish paleoconservative, if you had to label me something. Okay, This is corporate fascism fused with, I mean, I call it commu-fascism is what I call it. Commu-fascism.
Yep.
It seems like this hybrid of both. It has both aspects. Really, totalitarianism is rising here. And if we don't put, I agree with you that if we don't do something about it, America is going to fall.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed. And here's another interesting historical perspective for those who want to ponder different possibilities. You know, they say all empires fall. Well, I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to say, actually, what happens is the empires simply morph. They morph.
Yes.
They don't ever fall. They morph into...
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, cross the sea of years, with no provisions, but no faces, Lord, the straits of fear. Oh.
Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
folks, if you support this broadcast now, I'm trying to tell you, go to ResurrectTheRepublic.com, click on that PayPal button. We just got back, and we really could use your support. For those of you who during the daytime may not be familiar with, well, you've got to be familiar with this by now. I spend a little bit of time with, you know, as a guest at the Federal Hilton for a little over a year for my participation in the Argonne standoff. So a little over a year, we took a crash dive. And, you know, I try and stand up and cover these things, and I try and put my boots on the ground and get out there and get proactive. And, you know, that's when we're dealing with what we're dealing, we're going to take a punch and sometimes get a bloody nose. Well, I need your support. So if you appreciate this broadcast and our work, then you'll go over and ResurrectTheRepublic.com and you'll help us out a little bit and send us some love. We'd appreciate it. But we're going to get back now to the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe.
To a new empire with a new brand. The last one before us was the British Empire. That morphed into the American Empire. Now, is it British, like British patriots and American patriots that control these empires? No. No, those who control these empires have no national allegiance. They don't give a shit about the American people. Or the British people, for that. Or the Romans. You know, every empire has been the same in you know, for the last 2,000 years and beyond, really. It's all been the same. And the American Empire is merely the latest manifestation of that reality. But they will morph this empire into a new one. And their plan, which they will never succeed. I'm grateful they have this plan because it's their own undoing. Their yes. plan is to make Israel the next empire with Jerusalem as its capital. And this latest move by Donald Trump to move the U.S. Embassy to Israel, to Jerusalem, is perfectly in line with this agenda. It is perfectly in line. It's also part of the downfall of the American Empire.
It's so frustrating.
It is frustrating because Americans are like a spoilt brat child that was handed this great gift. And like a spoilt brat, we pissed it away. We could still get it back. We could. But we're going to have to grow some balls for real and literally start using our brain independently, thinking critically for ourselves. And when we do, we now have access to information that makes it very easy to understand what's really going on. It takes some effort, but it's not that difficult. And you don't need to follow me or any other guru. You can simply use your own brain and a little bit of discipline to investigate things like we're talking about today. Like, for instance, World War II history being complete bullshit. Like, for instance, Adolf Hitler saying basically F you to the Jewish banksters and printing their own money and becoming a powerhouse nation in less than a decade. We could...
All right, folks. Ken is raw! Gotta love it. We'll be back in the second hour with the Freedom Files with Ken O'Keefe on Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I'm not interested in
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.